Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to issues facing our community. We talk to people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. It's always great to catch up with people you haven't seen for a while. Today I have two guests who I've not seen in a long time but are very important to our community. They toil away trying to address some of the most severe challenges in Northumberland. In the first segment, I will be talking to Megan McDonald, Executive Director for Habitat for Humanity, who will tell us about all the fantastic things going on in her organization, including an important fundraiser coming up shortly. In the second segment, I'm pleased to have Janet Irvin, the Executive Director of the Northumberland Community Counseling Center. It just held its annual general meeting last night, and we're going to be talking to her first about what happened. It promises to be an interesting conversation, so let's get to it. The momentum gathering around the issue of affordable housing in Northumberland is gaining speed. Since the fall municipal election, several key initiatives have taken place with the release of the county's annual housing and homeless study earlier this week. It seems like a good time to check in with those who are working directly on the front lines to address this vital issue. With me in studio is Megan McDonald, Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity Northumberland. Her organization has been super busy over the past year addressing several aspects of the local housing issues. Welcome, Megan.
Thank you.
Before we get too far, I guess congratulations are in order. I understand you inherited a vehicle from Northumberland County to help transport tools and equipment to various sites. Can you tell me how this happened?
Yeah, so a couple years ago, we got our first donation of a decommissioned ambulance from Northumberland Paramedics and granted by County Council at Northumberland County. And that was a game changer for us. It was before then, we hadn't run a truck for our build program. And all of a sudden, we now had a vehicle, a reliable vehicle that we could store materials in, we could store tools. It was sort of like a mobile mobile unit that we could take with us. And so we've been running that one for 3 years now, and it's and we're growing. We're trying, as you said, there's the affordable housing crisis is just getting worse, and so we're trying to do more. So earlier in the year, I approached the county about a second ambulance because we're trying to run two build sites at once. And they agreed, and so we picked up our second ambulance at the beginning of June.
So do you leave the colors on it, or do you paint over it, put your own logo?
We paint over it and wrap it. And what we really do is it says, come build with us, so that people that see the Habitat ambulance driving around town know how to get involved in the building program.
But do you keep the sirens and the lights?
Take the sirens out, but the lights are still there.
Oh, that's cool. I'd be putting those on all the time. In late May, there was an announcement about a new committee being formed to consider innovative solutions to the demand for affordable housing through building what are called tiny homes. What can you tell us about this?
This is a really cool initiative, and I'm really excited that it's happening. So there was a community group that came together a couple of years ago that started to talk about the concept of tiny homes and the need for tiny homes and how that could be a way to solve the affordable housing crisis. Mm-hmm. But the group was very, very reflective and understood that what they did not want to do was just create another charity in town that then had to do all this work and fundraise. And so the group actually came to the Habitat board and proposed Habitat taking on this project, but with this committee spearheading it. And so after a lot of back and forth, we signed an MOU, and it officially became a chapter of Habitat for Humanity Northumberland in March. And so really what that means is this is a group, there's a steering committee, the chair is Nicole Beatty, who is a Coburg counselor, but is doing this in her capacity as a citizen of Northumberland County. And what they're trying to do is see the feasibility of building tiny homes or micro-villages to help combat this need for affordable housing.
Okay, so can you define for us then, what is a tiny home specifically?
So there's not too much definition around it. It's under 650 square feet is the main key. And then it can be in many different ways. Some are standalone units. We're considering the concept of, a micro-village, so small, tiny units all in one building or in two buildings. The group is doing its research right now, so they've traveled to Hamilton to meet with the group trying to build tiny homes in that city and really trying to see what would be the best for this community.
Okay, so the steering committee that you have the memorandum of understanding with, you're saying it's a subcommittee of what you're doing. So what will be Habitat's role in relationship to the committee then?
So it is a chapter of Habitat for Humanity. So our board has, they have to present the business plan and the feasibility to our board for approval to proceed. And it would be done under our name. So we would be the ones purchasing any land or purchasing building materials. But ultimately, the intention is for this tiny homes initiative to provide some ownership units that would be Habitat ownership units, but there's a possibility that we could do additional units within the project that are rental or even market housing.
Okay, so I guess I'm a little confused. I've always thought of tiny homes being standalone, but they're very, very small. I often think of some of the post-war housing that we saw in the late 40s and early 50s, that if you drive through towns, you can see the little houses on a little plot of land, and it was for the guys when they returned from the war.
Yep.
That's always what I've thought of as tiny homes, or even smaller than that. You know, I've seen examples where they use shipping containers
yes.
to turn them into tiny homes. So we've seen all that kind of thing, but you mentioned something about putting them together.
Yeah,
so how does that work?
So there's lots of different models of tiny homes. So mm-hmm. so there is, as you said, the standalone tiny home. You'll see that one a lot on HGTV or some of those too, right? Where they've got these in the middle of a field, this micro house. But we're also investigating the idea of micro village. So tiny homes can also be several homes in one space, like several units. But just the key definition as terms of tiny home is that it's around that 650 square foot or less. So it's that idea of minimalism in the structure.
So why do we even want that to begin with? What's the purpose of having such a small place in terms of a living space?
How affordability.
Affordability. So what are we talking
about? That's a key part.
Okay, so what would we be talking about then in terms of cost, and then how many people would it house?
So we're not sure yet. That's why they're doing the feasibility study. So they're just at the beginning, and I should go back for a second. I think there's two reasons. One is affordability. So people say to me, well, how do we build affordable housing in this market, especially affordable home ownership, when this market is just going crazy? And so one answer is you build smaller, more efficiently, right? So mm-hmm. so that's one key thing. I think some of it's lifestyle too. There is a movement to minimalism, and there are people that want to occupy less space and are thinking differently about how they occupy space. So there's an interest in it as well. And I think for some people, that's intriguing as well. But as I said, this group, it's just getting started. They're just starting the feasibility to figure out, can this be done? And how is it best done if it can?
You mentioned the market. And I want to talk a bit about that, because it gets a little scary sometimes. I was looking up and preparing for this interview. The Northumberland Realtors Association reported just last month that the average home sale price is just under $500,000.
Yep. And it went up 4% from May 2018 to May 2019.
That's correct.
Oh, did I just take your stat?
Not at all.
Okay.
No, I'm glad we're on the same page. That's wonderful. What I thought was really interesting, though, is in this latest report, they say that the market for single detached homes was the tightest in range below $300,000, where the demand was strongest relative to the supply. And yet the vast majority of sales are in the range of over $600,000. How do you create these tiny homes and keep them affordable?
So you're the second person to ask me that exact question today, actually. The struggle that Habitat will always have is we don't control market at the end of the day, right? Mm-hmm. And so we struggle with, well, how do you make sure a home stays affordable? And there's lots of different definitions of that. And the market, being a free market, is going to increase and change. So what we do is, on the front end, we do as much as we can to not invest money in the things that drive up market value, but invest in things that don't tend to drive up market value, but are important for the house, the longevity of the house. So for example, we'll spend a lot of money on a good solid foundation that doesn't tend to drive up market value the way that a quartz countertop would. We don't put those in. So it's, some of it is in the way we build our houses. The other is that we try to build really energy efficient houses so that homeowners, it's affordable for them to maintain. And then because we hold the mortgage with the family, their mortgage is always affordable because the payments are geared to income. And we do a shared equity model so that when they sell, you know, they don't walk away with a windfall profit. There's share there. But beyond that, it's hard for us to maintain the affordability long term because it's a market.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can see how, you know, as we see in many examples, a less expensive home gets purchased by somebody else, and then they go in, renovate the Sam Hill out of it, and next thing you know, the for sale sign's on the front lawn again, and the price is doubled.
I guess the only thing I can say is right now, Habitat is building, our new housing is still below any other new housing that's being built in this community. So that's a key part. And as I said, no matter when a family sells, with Habitat, you know, if they sell, the longer they're in the home, the more of the market equity they get. But if they sell before, let's say, 5 years, they don't get any of that increase in the fair market value. Habitat gets that back, so we can invest it in more affordable housing. I guess what I'm trying to say is we've put in place protections to mitigate it as much as we can in a free market.
Wow. Have you been to Durham or to the city of Hamilton?
I didn't get to go, unfortunately.
What do you know about those two projects that you might be able to share with us, just so it can help us better understand what is going on out in other places?
Well, so with Hamilton, what I do know is this concept of microvillage, mm-hmm. is that's where we really, the group really picked up on that. So in Hamilton, that's how they've been pursuing tiny homes. And they've been working at it for years and years because there were a lot of planning barriers and challenges within getting it developed. But that concept of tiny homes all in one space occupying a same building but being micro units and micro village, that's where that idea came from or was reinforced.
Now, this steering committee, who sits on it? You mentioned already Coburg Councillor Nicole Beattie, she's sitting on it. Who else is sitting on it?
There's a lot of community members. There's at least one councillor from Port Hope that's supporting it as well. So the steering committee is made up of about 7 to 9 people. And then there's also community representatives that provide it. And I don't want to name them because I'll forget right now in front of me. But probably the most important thing is right now I know they're still looking for people that have planning or building expertise. We might have secured it, but if anyone's interested, they should still reach out.
Now, I understand, too, that Port Hope might be the first place that you're looking at. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, the intention is to do a pilot, and Port Hope was identified as an area of interest, mainly because right now there is a lot of affordable housing projects kind of in the pipeline right here in Coburg, mm-hmm. but also this community, Port Hope, there's such a high need, and also their strategic plan right now, this kind of project would hit 5 of the pillars, so that's why it's been identified as a pilot.
You've been around a long time working with affordable housing as an issue. Have you noticed any changes in the political landscape in terms of how this issue is changed, if it has at all changed, in terms of political will or political perspective?
Yes. I would say, especially at a local level, there has been an incredible amount of dialogue, understanding, and reflection on the need in this community. I think it's impossible for that not to be the case when you have a vacancy rate that's not been above 1% in 10 years. But I would say right now we're seeing extreme leadership from local councils, a lot of leadership from the county, and that is all feeding up. And so yes, there's more to be done, but right now working in housing, the political support, especially locally, which is where most of the barriers are. The funding is provincial and federal most of the time, but the municipality has so much and the county has so much responsibility and ability, and I'm really seeing politicians and staff step up and really demonstrate that commitment to making a change and building housing. I mean, we're seeing the county of Northumberland, the local housing looking at building affordable housing. That's incredible.
Just this past week, the county released its housing and homeless annual report.
Yeah.
What were the big takeaways in that report for you?
Well, I actually haven't had a chance to read through the whole thing yet. I provided some input into it. And I think the biggest takeaways is that there's still a need to support those that are experiencing homelessness, and we have initiatives that are in place. But there's so many levels of government and organizations that have to work together for this to be done efficiently. And I would say the fact that we got to provide input into that report demonstrates the county's commitment to that. So right now, that's my biggest takeaway, is that I feel like we're all working towards the same goal in a way that has not always been the case, but has been, like, we've been growing to that, and I'm really pleased to see the leadership on that.
In April, you guys handed over keys to a project done on University Avenue in Cobourg. Why was that project particularly significant in terms of the overarching things that you're trying to do?
Well, it was our 59th and 60th Habitat houses, so pretty cool right there. But I am so proud of that project, because that project is a demonstration of creative, affordable housing. And I can say that with a huge smile, because it was, I take no credit, because it was really Trinity United Church coming to us and asking if we would be interested in proposing what we could do with that building. So Trinity United Church owned that property at 22 and 24 University, and they were looking to do something with it. They've been offering affordable rent for years. But, you know, that's a lot of work. And we got the opportunity to propose renovating it and applying to rezone the property so we could build two more on it. And so when they agreed and decided to sell us the land at half the fair market value, we embarked on something really neat. So we renovated those two houses over the fall of 2018 and handed the keys over to those two families. But right now we're working on the next stage of that project, which is getting approval so that we can build two additional units on the back. This is so exciting because it's our first ever condominium ownership project. It's an opportunity for us to learn different ways of housing. It's also a great example of how affordable housing can be creative and take an older property, rejuvenate it, increase the density right in the downtown, right near the grocery store and the pharmacy and the library, right there in the middle. We can make more affordable housing when we didn't even think was possible.
Now, that takes a lot of money. and I know you guys do a lot of fundraising, which is critical. By the way, what your budget is about how much annually these days?
To run our program, it's close to $1 million.
Close to $1 million. So to do that, I know you've done some really unique things in terms of fundraising. One of them was a 20 for 20 in 20. Can you tell us a bit about that? That was quite a while ago, but it was very successful for you.
Yeah, we kicked it off on National Housing Day, which was November 22nd last year. And we said, okay, let's see if we can raise $20,000 for our 20th anniversary. And we exceeded that quite significantly. And we were so excited by Spoolon signing on to be the main campaign sponsor. That was a new partnership for us. But also through that, we partnered with organizations that were new to us as well. The Reed Elliott Family Foundation and Stadke Plumbing and Heating, a whole bunch of different, Acme Electric, Canada Pallet. We established partnerships that we hadn't had before and really engaged them. And we were really excited by that. And all of that money went straight towards finishing those two houses on University.
Now, I understand you have a fundraiser coming up actually very soon.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So we have our second annual Overtime Golf Tournament on Saturday, July 13th. Overtime Renovations takes the lead on this, and it's at Dalewood Golf Club, and it's an all-day tournament, and all of the funds raised are, once again, will go straight into our building program for this year.
That's great.
And we're still looking for golfers.
So what's next then for you guys?
What's next? We're doing this fundraiser. We are working on some properties, and we're hoping to complete four Habitat homes before the end of March 31st, 2020. And we are working really hard to complete a bunch of Renew-It projects so that we can help families make sure they can stay in their affordable housing.
Well, I want to thank our guest today, Megan McDonald of Habitat for Humanity. And we're going to take a break right now for some commercials. And please stay tuned to Consider This Northumberland on 89.7, your truly local source for news. We'll be right back.